When it comes to protecting us against AI risks, people drafting up these laws say the EU and the US got to be on the same page. Hello and welcome to the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanne Byrne and thanks for tuning in because we've got another morning and another AI debate. First up, let's hear from Sam Altman, the boss of the firm behind ChatGPT, who's been testifying before Congress for the first time.
I think if this technology goes wrong, it can go quite wrong. And we want to be vocal about that. We want to work with the government to prevent that from happening. But we try to be very clear-eyed about what the downside case is and the work that we have to do to mitigate that.
Now, the European Union is a step ahead. It's already working on rules to regulate AI, the first legislation of its kind in the world. Dragos Tudorake, he's got a big resume. He's the member of the European Parliament and one of the two legislators leading Parliament's work on the AI Act. Dragos, thank you for joining us on Marketplace.
You're very welcome. Good morning.
Well, there's a lot of talk about regulating AI, Dragos, and the importance of it. Could there be an issue if the US doesn't have similar AI regulation to the EU? Is the act meaningless then?
Well, I think this time around, not really. I think with AI, it's going to be different. If you follow the conversation in the US on this, both at the level of the policymakers as well as in the society, it's very much along the same lines as here in Europe. But I can share with you that in very recent conversations with policymakers in Congress responsible for AI, there is an AI caucus in Congress, which is right now, I think, very seriously deliberating how would the US also be rather soon arriving at some guardrails for AI. So I believe that pretty soon we're going to have the basis for very similar rules on both sides of the Atlantic.
When we talk about regulation, what areas of this technology are the most important to restrict or have oversight over?
Well, I think it's important to understand at least the approach that we take at European Union level, which is not to regulate the technology itself. We are regulating the use of technology. Because we believe that the technology is neutral, but how you use it for good or for bad is what needs to be guardrailed. And that's what we're doing. We are categorizing various use cases of artificial intelligence in what would be prohibited practices. So those types of artificial intelligence uses that we simply do not want to see on our market because we believe they are encroaching so much on our rights and on the values that we hold dear in our society that we do not simply want. And I'll give two examples, social scoring, the likes that we see in China, or the biometric recognition in public spaces. So these are examples of the kind of AI that we simply say we don't want to see, or categories of use cases of AI that are high risk. They have to go through a compliance, through a self-assessment. And again, all that is done to increase trustworthiness in these algorithms in our society, to increase transparency.
And so what happens if a company is found to be using its AI and not complying with the EU's AI Act? Is there going to be enforcement like there is with the EU's data protection legislation?
I would dare say even stronger. We've made sure that we've put some sharp teeth in this regulation because it's clear that no matter what, how much you work to put in rules in place, if you don't have a credible enforcement system behind, it's not going to work. So we have fines that can go up to 7% of a company's worth. There are also very clear mechanisms that regulators can actually shut down certain applications, force the company to withdraw them from the market. So again, there is enough enforcement there to allow regulators to duly deal with infringements of the law.
Dragos Tudorake, thank you so much for joining us on Marketplace.
Thank you very much.
Now, let's do the numbers. Japanese stocks rose to a 33-year high after new data shows Japan's economy is on the rebound. GDP grew there for the first time in three quarters. And one of the world's largest car makers is warning its UK business may not be sustainable if post-Brexit trading rules don't change. Stellantis, which makes Vauxhall, Peugeot, Citroën and Fiat, has committed to making electric vehicles in the UK, but now that's at risk. These days, it really seems like US investors are queuing up to pay for a share in English soccer teams. NFL star JJ Watt most recently bought a stake in Burnley Football Club. Manchester United and Liverpool, they're already American-owned and are in the market for more investment. But the most attention has been on the Hollywood takeover of a much smaller team in Wales. If you've seen the series, you probably know it. The BBC's Gareth Rees-Owen reports.
Supporters of Wrexham Soccer Club in North Wales, like Hannah Smith and Gwennon Morgan, are living the dream.
You know, if you had said, like, what, a few years ago, you know, people in New York and LA, Hollywood will all be talking about Wrexham, you'd think, why?
I don't even like football, but we're just here, it's brilliant.
Wrexham had been languishing in the lowest league of professional soccer in England when Hollywood stars Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney came calling 2 years ago.
We just became owners of Wrexham Association Football Club. You may have never heard of Wrexham, the racecourse ground, but you will.
That's the name of Wrexham Stadium. So why did they spend $2.5 million for a little-known semi-professional Welsh football club? Rob McElhenney explains.
Even though I couldn't afford to buy, say, Liverpool or Man City, Man U, maybe we could afford to buy a lower league team and then have them ascend through the ranks.
The business model they've adopted is unique, mainly selling a TV documentary of their journey, Welcome to Wrexham, on streaming platforms. Ben Pepe, a sports commercial expert for JMW Solicitors, says it's generated over $3 million in revenue and has snowballed into
sponsorship deals with the likes of TikTok, Expedia, you're talking global brands, season ticket numbers have tripled.
Wrexham posted a turnover of more than $7 million for the year to last June. That's a 404% increase compared to the previous season. Their fan base has grown too. Olivia Fellows works in the club shop and says they're now shipping merchandise abroad.
Since the documentary came out, it has rocketed. 80% of it goes to the States at the moment.
The commercial sports expert Ben Pepe says the Hollywood coupled soccer empire could grow even further.
They could use Wrexham as their framework and they could continue to roll out a similar model throughout other clubs they purchase, both within the UK and potentially Europe moving forward.
But for now, for the first time in 15 years, Wrexham have been promoted. Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney are clear. They're setting their sights even higher.
I want this football club to be the first football club in space. That's mine, but I know that yours is probably a little bit more grounded.
Yeah, I mean, I'd just like to win more games than we lose.
The success of their ownership model is now driving even more US investors to look for opportunities to buy up English soccer clubs. In Wrexham, I'm the BBC's Gareth Rees-Owen for Marketplace.
I really need to watch that series. And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Thanks to James Graham and Ollie Dalbert Hansen for producing. Joe Critcher is our editor. Thanks for listening.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.